goodness.
My goodness is right. Hey, thank you to Jimmy B on Twitter that just reached out and said, hey, Dwight, tell Dave to be careful with the blue-green algae.
Ooh.
It produces a couple of toxins. It actually kills wildlife and cattle every year because it has a liver toxin that slowly kills you. So be careful. We were discussing, and here's what that's, by the way, News Radio 840 WHAS. What this is referring to is we were talking about foods that can slow down your graying hair. You and I, we don't care about the gray hair.
Nope.
We sport it, baby. I got it in my beard. I got it on the sides. I don't care.
Spirulina is the stuff, and the last thing I need is a liver toxin.
That's right. Yeah, no kidding, right? Hey, let's bring in our good friend George Rodman, former LMPD. He's trained a lot of the officers that are still on the force today. George, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Morning, Dwight and Dave. Doing well.
Doing good. Listen, so much to get to, so little time, but I want to take your temperature on this new chief, Chief Gentry. I know she's interim chief, and she's already declared that she has no interest in taking the job. She's already served the community, and she's coming back to help out momentarily. But I got to tell you, what little I know about her, man, I'm impressed. What are your thoughts on the new chief?
Oh, I got the utmost respect for Chief Gentry. She's excellent. In fact, I was very vocal, hoping that she would become the permanent chief. She's well respected among the rank and file, and well respected among the citizens of Louisville. But yeah, I hated that she's the interim. You know, I respect her for stepping in for the next 6 months or 5 or 6 months to try to help. But she's she's top-notch, no question about it.
Well, I tell you what, there was a movie called Never Say Never Again, and this was when Sean Connery said, I'm not going to be Bond anymore. Never.
Never.
And then he got back to it and said, well, what the heck, any chance we can talk her into it, George?
No, I don't think so, guys. I wish. But I don't think so. I think, you know, I was actually surprised that she came back as an interim for 6 months. But, you know, I was glad to hear that. But, no, I don't think so. I really don't.
All right, listen, next topic is something that I was hoping I would have to would never have to talk about again. It would be put behind us. We've had the men and women of LMPD serving hard in this community, working every single day for over 2.5 years without a contract. Now, the past few months, if you haven't paid attention, I don't know where you've been, but they've been really, really difficult on the men and women of LMPD. They've been overworked. They've had their days off taken away from them. They were doing 12, 14, 16-hour shifts. I don't know how they've survived. On top of that, people have been spitting on them. They've been throwing urine, waste. We even had two officers shot in the streets. It's been miserable. They've been working without a contract for over 2 years. They finally get one that the FOP and the city can agree on, and it starts getting to compensate them somewhat fairly. And now all of a sudden, it's been tabled by a committee on Metro Council. If there has ever been a time to get a contract for these men and women, now is the time. What did you think when you found out that they're going to go, let's wait on this for a minute?
Well, Dwight, it's another punch in the gut to the men and women who are out here serving every day. I mean, you know, they've gone 130-plus days out here. The department is hemorrhaging. I mean, Chief Gentry has made that known. People are leaving at a rapid rate. No one is putting in to become an LMPD officer. We have a class that was eligible to have 44 people. There's only 17 recruits in there right now.
Wow.
The patrol divisions are running at 50%. That's people that protect your city.
Wow.
50%. Okay? Wow. Overtime is posted daily to help cover the city. Detectives are carrying a massive caseload right now. And you know what? All they asked for was a one-year raise.
Yep.
1 year raise of 8.2%. But if you add that up, they haven't had a raise for going on 3 years.
There you go.
So that's 2.7% per year, and they're only going to get back pay for the year 2020.
Yep.
A council person made a comment that this contract impacts people. She's exactly right. It's impacting people to the point that we have 131 homicides out here. 474 people have been shot in this city. Okay, you got people like Bill Hollander, Brandon Cohen. They think they know how the police department should be ran. Well, I'm going to challenge any Metro Council person right now. If you know what it's like to be a police officer, I will set you up to ride a beat admit on late watch from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the most volatile areas of the city of Louisville. And then when you come out of that car, you tell me what the police deserve.
Right.
All right? Enough is enough. And like you said, Dwight, we had two officers shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent the whole day with Officer Dez last week. I mean, it crushed me. He's laying in bed and, you know, protecting our city and almost died.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got Major Gregory, who's out here leading in the front line, shot. But they're worried about reform and changes. Well, you know what they need to be worried about is they're an elected official. What are they going to do to try to combat what is going on in this city? They worry so much about what the police are doing. Well, they've been elected to a position to take care of what's going on in their own area. I haven't heard one of them say what they're going to do to combat the 131 homicides. I haven't heard one of them say what they're going to do to combat the 474 people shot.
Well,
you want reform and changes.
Of course.
Come on, Dave. You want reform and changes. How about the judicial system? I haven't heard one thing said about reform and changes for the judicial system.
Amen.
How about the juvenile system?
Yeah.
How about the violent juveniles that are out here shooting each other every day, dying in the streets, and our police officers are out here doing CPR on young kids, 10, 11, 12, 14 years old? They don't want to address that. They want to address what the police need to do. Well, it's not always the police fault.
Well, George, nobody is suggesting that LMPD is perfect. Nobody is suggesting that change doesn't need to happen in some way, shape, or form. But the first thing we have to do is pay officers fairly, get a good squad, get a good complement, a good staff of officers patrolling the streets, and then work on change. It has nothing to do with their pay, and here's my concern. So you have lower and lower qualifications to even enter the class. You're telling people you're going to get an okay starting wage. You're going to probably have a really rough beat, maybe get shot at. Here's what we're going to pay you. And now, well, do you have a high school degree? Okay, good enough. If you're worried about having bad officers, aren't we kind of dumbing down the qualifications and increasing the possibility that happens?
Exactly right, Dave. That is why we've had scandal after scandal on this, the police department. Okay? The running joke is now, if you know how to fill out an application, you can become an LMPD officer.
Right.
The pride of wearing that badge, what it means, has been put to the side. We're just needing bodies now, and that's the issue. You're exactly right, Dave. That's a very good point.
Talking to George Rodman, former LMPD, and he's been an influence on many of the good officers that we've had out there for years because he's trained them. We were hoping we'd have a contract approved, but all of a sudden it's held up by a few in the Metro Council. And I just want to add one more time that these officers have been working without a contract. They haven't been compensated fairly for years. And then if you look at it this way, two of them have been shot. There's all kinds of damage that has happened to downtown Louisville. However, if these officers had not laced up their boots and went out there every single day without a day off, in the heat and work for 14, 16 hours a day, this city would have burned to the ground. And in my opinion, these council members that voted to table this, think for a second. Why was City Hall boarded up with plywood? Every window, every door was boarded up with plywood. And now you've taken it down, and the officers, they don't deserve fair compensation. I just don't understand it. And then last night, they're also talking about limiting force. All right. This is where the council members decide, you know what? As an officer, this is how you do it. And I go back to you. I was going to say that as well. I think that every single council member sitting on their ass saying, do this, don't do that, needs to get in a patrol car and they need to ride in a shift and it needs to be picked specifically by LMPD what time and what district.
Exactly right, Dave, or Dwight. You're exactly right. You know, they want to put out policies. Well, right now, the standard operating procedure policy for LMPD officer right now is between 800 than 900 pages, okay? You got to know everything in that book. So when you come out here, you got to make a split decision. Are you doing the right thing or are you not doing the right thing, okay? And it's real easy to put this on the police. It's real easy. But they don't want to step in the forefront and be a part of the change, be a part of the solution. They all just want the police to change. And, you know, and it can't be just the police fault. It's got to be a two-way street to make this happen. Let me say this real quick, too, before we end. Okay? So the Metro Council, elected officials, and I have to bring my son into this, okay? When he was killed in 2017, you know what the city of Louisville paid for his funeral, visitations, or burial? You know what the city did? You know what they paid?
No.
Zero.
Wow.
Zero. They didn't pay a thing.
Wow.
Okay? They told my daughter-in-law 2 days after Nick was killed, haven't even had a funeral yet and buried him, that we're sorry for your loss, but unfortunately you won't have insurance and $22,000 a year to take care of my grandchildren. This is the government. So our family united and went to Frankfurt every single day to get this line of duty death benefits changed.
Yeah.
We worked our ass off to get this done. There was one local politician representative who helped us daily. And that was Jason Nemus. He was the only one that stepped up and helped us. There wasn't one person from the council who came down to Frankfurt with us every day. It was such a great thing to get this line of duty death benefits changed that it not only impacted my daughter-in-law, but it impacted all the previous widows who lost their husband or wife in the line of duty.
This is this is a perfect example, George, of what extreme liberal governance gives you. The mayor wants to be Portland. Yeah. He wants to be Chicago. So here's what happens. Your son loses his life in the line of duty, gets nothing from the city. However, if you shot at cops, spat at cops, and claimed you had a tent in downtown Louisville, you got $800.
Yeah, to the tune of $60,000 this city shelled out, not even asking for receipts from the people that were occupying Memorial Park illegally.
Amen. Amen, you guys. I mean, you know, they talk about the judicial system. What did the judicial system let our family down? But you didn't see the police out here protesting. You didn't see them out here rioting because, you know, that's not the kind of people they are.
Right.
So what I'm asking is, if it wasn't for the citizens of Louisville and private entities that stepped up and helped pay for this, it's embarrassing. Embarrassing that they couldn't even step up and write a check for an officer killed in the line of duty. But they got to worry about and put out reform and changes on, you know, what they could do out here on the streets and have zero idea what it's like to be a police officer out here.
Do we know the names of the council people that are holding this up? I'd like for their constituents to know that if policing in their neighborhood is substandard, maybe they can vote someone else in.
Well, I know it's the Labor and Economic Development Committee that decided to chair it, but the most vocal ones out here are Bill Hollinger, Brandon Cohen, Keisha Dorsey, and Paula McCraney. I challenge them. I will set it up. Let's go. Put your bulletproof vest on. I'll meet you Friday night, and let's go ride down in the most volatile part of the city of Louisville.
When
you step out of that car, tell me what you think then.
Well, no. I agree with you. Mine is the bulletproof vest. Obviously, they're not needed, so just don't put one on them. Just my school of thought. Okay, anyway, George Rodman. Thank you for doing everything you do, man. Listen, as a taxpayer, I think issue number one is public safety, and I think that is where City Hall has failed us, not only in 2020, but for a long time. Thanks for all you've done for this city in the past and now in the present, and I'm sure in the future. George Rodman, God bless you, man.
All right. Thanks, Dwight Day. Appreciate it.
Hey, Craig and Landry, let me tell you about my Jeep from Craig and Landry. It's a 2019 Jeep Wrangler. I love it. If you go to Craig and Landry, to one of their many, many lots, you're going to be thrilled with what you see. Inventory of all kinds. I'm talking any kind of make, model, car, truck, van you can imagine. But if you don't want to go to one of the lots, just go to craigsbestcars.com. That's what I did. You shop around. It pulls from every one of their lots. Jimmy Smith, Joey Craig, Larry Craig the Legend, all of their your inventory right there at one place. You find a vehicle you like, you say, hey, bring that vehicle to me. They will bring it to your home, your job, wherever you are. They will meet you. And you test drive from there. It's that easy. It's hassle-free car shopping. There's a reason that Craig and Landreth has been serving up the best in pre-owned and new for over 40 years in Louisville and Southern Indiana. Go to Craig'sBestCars.com. Stick around. More on the way. Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten. This is News Radio 840 WHAS.
WHAS.
All right, News Radio 840 WHAS, Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten, Tony Vannetti out on vacation. I want to share a quick story with you. Mm-hmm. It was around 2004, 2005. Well, it was 2005 is when it was, but I had read a book by Billy Graham called The Journey, and it inspired me. I said, I need to start going to church. So I started to shop around churches, and I found one. I was doing this by myself, single at the time. What I did is I found this church that I really, really liked. I had a preacher there at Shively Christian Church, and I always like to sit front row because I like to see and hear without being disturbed, just like I would at a concert. The best seat, mm-hmm. I want to sit there. So it was kind of odd. I was the single guy that no one really knew sitting at the first pew at this church. Now, church members, you quickly get to know people, and there's a part of the church service where everyone gets up, and they just, hey, get up and say good morning to everybody. This is what goes on this. I don't know if you do that in Catholic religion and other ones, but everybody gets up and mingles. I always use that to sneak in, because occasionally I'm late to things, Dave.
Why would that be? What would you be doing on a Saturday evening that would make you late for God's word, Dwight?
That's right. But I would sneak in when everyone is doing these things. Well, I say all that to say this. I had met a young man that went to that church with his family. His name was Mitch. He was a teenager, okay? And his family, they would get to church on time. And they would sit about midway back in the church. Well, Mitch and I became friends very quickly. And it got to the point where when Mitch saw me show up and sit down on that front row, even though I was late, he would get up while everyone was sitting down, leave his family, and sit next to me so I wouldn't be alone. And we became best of friends. The part that I'm leaving out is Mitch had Down syndrome. He was a very, very good friend of mine. His family was a good friend of mine. And that is how I got turned on to Down Syndrome of Louisville. And I want to bring in my guest, Julie, from Down Syndrome of Louisville, and talk to her in a second. And I got to tell you, Julie, good morning, first of all. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing well.
You just heard, but
doing well.
Right. Well, you could be doing better. And I want to tell you that if you were listening just then, that was my first experience with Down syndrome. I don't have any relatives with Down syndrome, but I quickly fell in love with this young man, this teenager Mitch, who was the kindest, sweetest, gentlest angel in the world. Then that led me to meeting you, and I've been to different events that you guys have had at Down syndrome.
You've been such a good friend to us.
Yes. Let me tell you. The first time that I was able to visit your all's facility, and you guys and gals do so good work there, I walked in, and it was in the middle of lunch, and I'm in the cafeteria. I'm looking for you. I'm looking around. I feel a tug on my jeans. I look down, and a young man says, hey, I'm Mike. What's your name? And you just fall in love immediately. My point is, the sweetest, kindest, gentlest souls you'll ever find out. If you ever threatened me and you said, hey, you got to find the nicest person in the world, I would run to Down Syndrome of Louisville. So you can't imagine how heartbroken I was this morning when I received the news that every transportation van that you men and women have there has been damaged, vandalized, and is now not running. Tell us what happened, and let us know, how can we help?
So we just happened to finally realize after this past weekend, we're not sure exactly when the vandalizing happened, but none of the vans would start. The catalytic converters have been cut off the bottom. The tack saws left behind, and a headlight missing, things like that. Batteries were dead. So we're not all sure what happened. Insurance is still coming to investigate, but it was very disheartening, especially just in a stressful year anyway when our members have had a rough time. They haven't been able to use the vans, and it just is very sad that while they're sitting there, someone would do this.
I would be willing to bet that there are people listening that would like to donate. I'd be willing to bet there are people that own auto body shops that would like to help you fix these vans. How can people get a hold of you?
Yes, you can give us a call at 495-5088 if you're interested in trying to help us out. We have had a couple people call with potential opportunities this morning, so hopefully we'll get some things worked out. But, you know, just donating towards the deductible will help us. That definitely wasn't in the budget. And, you know, COVID wasn't in the budget either. So yeah, it's a stressful year already. But you can donate at downsyndromeoflouisville.org. There's a donate now button at the top of the page there. And again, I mean, you know, that's the easiest and quickest way to make sure we can get this resolved and get our fans moving again.
And you hit a statement that I wanted to touch on as well when you mentioned budget. These deductibles, they're not in our budget. I happen to know the great work that Down Syndrome of Louisville does, and I happen to know that it's supported. One of your main fundraisers is this beautiful gala where every one of the people at Down Syndrome of Louisville, they become the celebrities. They walk the red carpets, the whole bit, and we couldn't do that this year because of COVID-19. So just like every other charity, there's a need, a big-time need, is there not, Julie?
Absolutely, yeah. We definitely were able to raise some money virtually this year, but, you know, just the virtual classes that we're offering our members are so important to them. And to keep our staff available to do that, it takes money. And we have our walk coming up in just a couple weeks, and we are at, like, half the teams we usually have and not even close to our goal. A lot of our families are usually the ones who give to that walk and raise money, and we know that they're struggling as well. So, it's hard to keep pushing our families. But anybody, again, who wants to just donate on the website, that will all help us reach our goals and be able to keep up these services and programs for our members.
Fantastic. And I hate to drop names, but I will let you know that I am friends with the Backstreet Dream Boys, and they are actually a product. I'm talking about an all-male, all-boy band out of Down Syndrome of Louisville. And I hate to drop names, but I got to do it when I can. Julie, I'll be giving you a call this afternoon if you don't mind, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for everything that you all do. I tell you what, Down Syndrome of Louisville, man, love them. Love them. There you go, Backstreet Dreams. I got to see I got a good friend in the Backstreet Dreams. His name's Sam Roach, and I got to see these guys perform on their on Sam's birthday party. As a matter of fact,
now I've got to ask you something. As you were talking about Mitch, you were using past tense. Is Mitch okay?
Oh yeah, Mitch is okay.
Okay.
It's just that after I got married, I started going to a different church. But okay, so when I started going to Shively Christian, whenever you go to these churches, you become part of the church almost immediately. That's what a church does, okay? So eventually I said, well, yeah, I play guitar, and I started playing in the band out there with a guy named Ralph Bland and all these other guys. Well, when I started playing in the band, I would only sit on the front row during the sermon.
So wait, you'd sneak in late. And then, pardon me, and go right to the front.
No, whenever I played in the band, for some reason, I would make it on time. Mm. But if I wasn't playing that morning, yeah, I would sneak in when they were doing the handshakes. But everyone's out of their seat, and they're shaking hands going, good morning, how are you, and all this other stuff. And, you know, so you just act like that you were just mingling along with them. And then when they say, okay, everybody get back in your seat, then I would go right back to the front row. But no one ever occupied front row. But, Mitch is doing well. I think it was actually prom king of his senior prom.
That's great, awesome.
Great guy.
And by I did a little digging while you were talking to Julie. So their catalytic converters were stolen out of their vans. And those are valuable to precious metal dealers. So that's why people steal catalytic converters.
Okay.
If you want to keep that from happening, according to the Google machine, park your vehicle so people can't slide under it if that's possible. They have to get under your vehicle and then use those hacksaws to detach the box. You can put a serial number on it so they can trace it, have a garage weld the bolts so they can't steal it, or install security cameras. So those are some of the things you can do, but that's why they go after those They go after AC units because I think of the copper that's in those, and then catalytic converters have different sorts of things like rhodium and platinum in them.
But my point is, what kind of a low-life piece of trash would see Down syndrome of Louisville go up on the lot and get under their vans? I've got no qualms about it. If you're the one that did this, you're a piece of trash.
Mm-hmm.
You're no good.
You're a post office supporter.
That's Dave Jennings, not me. I want to continue to get
I had initials there, and I couldn't say what I wanted to say. So no disrespect to the post office whatsoever.
No, none at all. Men and women, post office, we love you. But anyway, one last thing about Mitch. When I would get up and go play in the band, as soon as church was over and I was standing there with my guitar, Mitch would get up off of that front row seat, come up, start unplugging my amp, rolling cable, taking my guitar. It was like having my own best friend, roadie.
That's cool.
If you have never been around someone with Down syndrome of Louisville and socialized with them, I would highly recommend that you do that because it's the sweetest, most kind, gentlest angels you'll ever meet on planet
Earth.
Well,
after you talked about this, now you and Susan have to go to Shively Christian and sit in the front and see if Mitch comes to sit with you.
Yes, no, absolutely. Well, no, I think Mitch and his family actually moved away, though. So, yeah, that might be where the past, not away out of Kentucky, but just way, way, way far away in Kentucky. So there you go. Hey, lots to get to. Comedian Steve Byrne, he's got a brand new movie out. Vince Vaughn got a hold of him and said, let's do a movie. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to find out how we could do some good for the neighborhood out in the West End. West End needs our help as well. We'll talk to some people about that. Lots to get to. Lots of fun to have, too. So grab some coffee. Hang out.
And by the way, one of the producers of that movie we're going to talk about, if this name sounds familiar, Peter Billingsley.
Why does that sound familiar?
Think Tongue on Flagpole.
Christmas, the kid from Christmas Story?
The kid from the Christmas Story.
Oh.
He's almost 50 years old now, believe it or not.
It gets better and better. Grab some coffee, hang out. Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten. This is News Radio 840 WHAS.